Welcome to Prevailing Prayers with GSW. This promises to be another transformative time with the Word of God. Let your hearts be ready to receive the Word mixed with faith that would yield innumerable testimonies in your life. God bless you as you listen.
So today I'll be speaking about the two kinds of fights that the believer must be aware of. The two kinds of fights that the believer must be aware of. When the children of Israel were going into the promised land, God disregarded the opposition. I've often taught us that God will tell you what he wants to give you from the beginning. God will tell you, this is yours. God will tell you, this is yours. Even though God will not first secure that thing and then give it to you. It's not as if, you know, if someone wants to give me a car, a person will go buy a car, and then the person will come to me and say, I mean, I have a car for you, and the person will give me the key. That's not how God does it. God will show you the car. God will say, look at that car. Car that is still for sale. It is in the place where they are selling it. You will be sitting at your house by yourself. God will come and say, I have given you a car. I say, Lord, what car? That's Cybertruck. It is yours. Glory to God. You will dance. You will sing. You will celebrate. You then say to God, where is the key? God will say, walk with me. Walk with me and it shall be yours. I'm telling you, that's how God does it. God will come to you and say, I have given you a house. And you will celebrate. You will, glory to Jesus. I hear the word, I lambano. I receive it. I receive my house. Glory! Okay. Where is the key? God will say, walk with me. Walk with me and you get your house. That's the way of God. And what he told you is not a promise. When he says he has given you, he has given you. You see? When he says, I have given you, he has given you. Then, we receive it then by faith. We say, okay, I've received it. And then you keep your eyes on that goal. And then when you walk with him, within a short time, you get the car. So what God did for the children of Israel was, he said, okay, this is the land you're going. And I've demarcated it. And I'm giving each tribe their own land. Right? Each tribe their own land. So imagine that they had a map and they demarcated the map according to their own tribe. But on that same land, some people are living there at that time. Imagine that. Imagine. Just look at it. Somebody says, I'll buy you a car. Say, glory. And then the person says, oh, that's the car that brother is driving. See, that's your car. Say, sir. The person inside it said, he's driving it, but he's not the owner. You are the real owner. But he's the one driving it now. His name is on the document. He has registered it. It is in his name. But see, you are the real owner. That guy is not the real owner. And then you go wondering, how? Again, that is the way of God. So the people are already living in that land of Judah and Israel. There are Perizzites, there are Jebusites, there are all the sites, Azar sites, and all the Metawa sites, and the Shasana sites, and the Benga sites, and all of them are there, right? And then God said, I'm giving you this land, which is yours. So the first kind of fight that a Christian must fight is the fight of faith. The Bible says we must fight the good fight of faith. The fight of faith is internal. It is not external. The thing God has told you, you must convince yourself. You must convince yourself that it is yours. So, you see somebody driving that car now, and you're like, I don't like wahala. Let the person be driving it. What God will give me, he will give me. But what is, if you want to give me something, give me something. What do you mean? What do you mean by you are giving me a car, but somebody else is driving it? What kind of big gift is that? Am I supposed to beat the person? Am I supposed to fight the person? Am I supposed to do the person head boots? Eh? So I should go and meet the person now and collect somebody this car. Is that a gift? Really? Really? Is that how to give somebody a gift? You come to me and say you are giving me a gift, and then you say, so be careful. I'd rather walk with my feet with dignity than collect that kind of gift. What do you mean? So that person that behaved like that will never get the car. Will never own that car because he has refused to fight the good fight of faith. He has absolutely refused to engage God at God's own level of thinking. He has limited God to his own thinking. So our own thinking is different from God. The Bible says that as far as the east is from the west. See, his ways are not our ways. So you'll be like, what is he talking about? However, the person that understands that will fight the good side of it would hear God and say, hey, so that car is mine. Say, yes. Okay. Thank you, Lord. So what is the strategy? How do I get it? Well, God will say, just walk up to him and tell him that I said, the car is yours. And then you walk up to the person and say, oh, who is the owner of this donkey? Master has need of it. And the person will say, oh, take the key. I've been waiting. For the last 1 month, the Lord said I should be bringing this car here, that the owner of this car will come and ask for it. You can have the key. And then you'll be like, glory to God. Wow. 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 Ah, God, you are mighty. God, you are mighty. You are good. I just walked up to the person and I just told him the heart of God and gave him the key. Right? But the other person who wants to engage according to human principles will never do that. Will never walk up to that person. Let me give you a real life example. There was an American guy in Texas who in 1984 was told to buy 116 acres of land at $200 per acre. At $200 per acre. There was land in the Paris and somebody wanted to sell the land. And the person said, oh, I have land, vast land. I want to sell some part of my inheritance. And I'm selling now for $200 per acre. We as a ministry bought some land for that same amount, acres and acres of land for about $250,000 per acre. So like $200 per acre. At that time in America. So this man said he had money. He had a lot of money, but he didn't have need of land. He was a corporate person. He doesn't intend to have a farm. Has no business with a farm or anything. But he was praying in church, and God said, go and buy go and buy that land that they offered you, that they told you about. Go and buy it at $200 per acre. Go and buy it. So this man, this American guy, went to meet the seller and said, okay, I'll pay for it. And he paid for it and received all the documentation. And the property was his in his name, and he kept it in his safe. He didn't go there. He didn't even go check it. He didn't do survey. He didn't do anything. What they gave him, he just collected it, just put it. He forgot about it. Then they went for the Baptist Convention, the National Baptist, Southern Baptist Convention. The person is a Baptist man. Went for the National Southern Baptist Convention meeting of year, I believe, maybe 1998 or 1999, thereabouts. Several years later. And when they were at that meeting, a minister came to him, and the minister said that God said he kept the property with you, that the person that will collect this property from you, the person you are keeping it for, is going to come from Nigeria. It's going to be dark. It's going to be a Nigerian pastor. We are going to meet with him at the roadside diner, not too far from where you live now. And he and his wife had just moved away from New York City, where they were doing, where he lived all his life. They just moved to the suburb. It was by this time in his 60s. So he wanted to move away from the hustle and bustle of the city to a place where there could be some land for him, a small community around San Jose, somewhere. So he moved himself and his wife. The children are out of the nest. So he moved there, right? And that was the convention they were going for after he moved. And then the word of God came to him and said, there's a roadside diner not far from your house. The man of God will come there. But the Lord, then the prophet said, no, don't let me call him prophet. The person giving him the message, a Christian, said, the Lord did not give me the date that the person will come, but the Lord gave me the time. The person will come in the morning, around 9 to 11, for breakfast one day. And that is the day you will meet the person. And he said, okay. So from that day, when he got back home, every morning from 9 to 11, this American guy would go to that roadside diner to have breakfast. He would enter before 9, sit down there, and he would stay there till 11. When it's 11, he would leave. Because he came there to eat, but also because he was anticipating that the word of God will come to pass, right? Then sometime in 2004, so 5 years later, this guy was going there every day in the morning, every day, unfailingly, for 5 years. Except when he and his wife would go for vacation. And then he would leave a message with the owner of the diner that if a Nigerian pastor comes here, if a Nigerian pastor comes here, and the person asks for me by name, call me, right? So he made sure that he didn't want to fail God on that matter. Then this Nigerian pastor, he then traveled to America in 2004. When he got to America, the place he went to do a program was actually New York. But because he was going to America and doesn't go to America often, he felt he should stay in America for like a month and then see other places. You know how it is when you get your visa and you're like, I should take the advantage and just visit two or three places before returning home. So one of the places where his members were congregated was Texas. Other members, many Nigerians are in Dallas area, Texas. So Missouri, so just went, let me just see some of our people there. So he then went to Texas. So when he got to Texas, he slept over in one of the members' houses. And then he and that member were going to the members' place of work, which was on the outskirts. They left early. The wife of that man had packed sandwiches and stuff for them as they were driving the last way diner. So this man of God now told that one that, see, I don't want to embarrass your wife, but I'm not used to the kind of sandwich she packed. No, I'm not used to foreign food like that. But if they sell burger, if I can get burger, I can still manage to stomach burger, right? So they don't bark at that diner. So when they got to the diner, they parked, got out of the car, got into the diner. That man that had been waiting for 5 years and 4 months was seated. He saw them coming. He heard the accent, the way they were speaking their English. So the pastor couldn't speak English more than I am speaking it. But you know, the Nigerians that have been in America for a long time, the accent will have changed a bit. But those of us who are well grounded in, who eat our evaluation every day, our accent has refused to learn from the TV. So he heard the accent. Then it was at alert. He was watching the pastor. Pastor bought burger. He sat down. The companion sat down. He didn't buy anything because he had food in the car. They were just talking generally. He just stood up. This white man, you know, we had known for many years. So he didn't wait for the pastor to come and meet him. He just stood up and went to meet him and he said, "Good morning. Are you a pastor from Nigeria?" "Yeah. Are you a pastor from Nigeria?" That one said, "Yes, yes. How may I help you?" Said, "You fit the description of a message I received in the Southern Baptist Convention in 1999, around October." Said, "Yeah. Do you have a mission? Like, is it a small church or you have a mission?" Said, "We have a mission. The name of the church is this, this, this. We are in several countries. But this is my first visit to America in a while. I've been in America before in the 70s for other reasons, but this is my, because I've been busy and all that." Said, "Would you believe me if I told you? Would you believe me if I told you that there is 116 acres of land that the Lord said I should keep for you since 1999? Or since 1984. Sorry. And that I bought that land for $200 per acre, and God said I should not add any profit to it. I should sell it to you the same amount that I bought it. I shouldn't add anything to it." He said, this Nigerian pastor said, "Glory, glory." When I was in Nigeria, God told me that the same camp we have in Nigeria is going to give us our own camp land in America. And I received it by faith. I received it. I said, thank you, Father, thank you, Daddy, that before I left home, as I was packing my bag to come to the US, my daddy told me, he said, the same way you have redemption camp here, you are going to have it in America. But I said, thank you, Daddy, and I forgot about it. And here it was. Land has come. But the land did not come free. The man said, God told him that the same amount he bought it, he should sell it. So he told the man, "Oh, no problem. How much is the total of that?" The man told him and said, "Okay. Give me a few months. I will go home tomorrow. I'll come back in like a month to come and pay for it." The man said, "Oh, no problem." The man gave a document to him. Immediately, take all the documents. You are a pastor, you are a man of God. I've been holding your document for long. This is the document. Take it. This is the payment. When you are ready, pay to this account. And that was how they parted ways. And then he came to Nigeria to raise the money. And then they paid. And then the word of God came to pass. Now, here's where I'm going. Imagine the battle in the heart, the fight, to convince yourself that you are going to have something that God has promised to you, which you do not have the means to have at the moment, or even the desire to have. He just said, "Okay, I'm giving this to you." That is the first fight, the fight of faith, the fight to believe God, and then to act on His principle and His way to then accomplish that thing. Let me say that again. A lot of people, God will talk to them. They will say they believe God, but then they want to achieve that in their own way. Let me say that again. I want to hear me well. Because you must fight that fight the right way. Otherwise, you will not get the right result. So God tells somebody, "Oh, I'm going to establish you in America." Then the person begins to play this lottery. You hear? Because the person here in America now, he thinks that what it means to step out in faith, that am I just going to sit down and not do anything? Since God has said he wants me to travel to America, the next thing to do is to take a step of faith. Okay, what's that step of faith? American visa lottery. Let me just go and do visa lottery, right? And then the person does not win over and over and over and over again. And then the person gets frustrated because God has spoken, but he was going to accomplish that thing using his own system. He wants to plot another graph. What we then forget is that when God speaks to us, the path he said we should take, if we take that path, we are going to accomplish many things that is according to his will. For example, the testimony that came with that land is beautiful. The person who sold them that land, the fulfillment of that testimony in the person's life also, that the word of God came to pass, was a steward of God's property, is also very good for him. Then the relationship the two of them now has, naturally, you buy land, you may not even know the seller. But this time around, there's a relationship here. They became lifelong friends, both of them. Why? Because of the kind of connection they had. They could call each other, talk to each other, support each other, and all that. All that is part of God's plan. When God wants to accomplish a thing, why? God would rather bring us in close contact with people than in contact with people than just do things for us arbitrarily so that we don't have any kind of human contact. So when God says, do something, or I will do something for you, I will give you something, the best thing to then do is to say, okay, Lord, how? What is the strategy? Then if God says, oh, walk with me, walk with me, walk with him. If he says, oh, talk to that person, then you talk to the person. You will not say, I'm shy. I don't want anybody to do. No. As long as you are hearing from him, he will guide you to the fulfillment of that prophecy. Let me say that again. God is the one with the strategy. He will then share with you step by step, not everything. God does not tell anybody, after stage one, you now do stage two, you now do stage three. No. The Bible says the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. See the word brighter and brighter there. Let me give you the picture of that. In the Jewish culture, the way we hold torchlight in our hand now, when we are walking, when they want to walk at night, they have a special light that they tie to their shoes. One leg will have this light. Another leg will have this light. So when they take this step, that the everything around their leg will light up. When they take the next step, everything around their leg will light up. So they don't hold a lamp in their hand, especially for the shepherds, because they will use one hand to hold the staff. They need the other hand for their work, but they would shod their feet with light. So when he says the part of the righteous is shining brighter and brighter, he's referring to that every time you take a step, it will be bright. So in Christendom, we take it step by step. When we take a step, it is bright. We take another step. So God leads us step by step onto the fulfillment of all our journeys. So you see, with Moses, the 10 plagues, the movement, it was step by step. When they got to the sea, another strategy. They didn't give him the whole strategy all at once. With Abraham, the same thing. With Jesus, the same thing. If you look at your life and your walk with God, you will notice that it's also the same thing, stage by stage, step by step. As you grow, you get more. As you grow, you get more. You don't just get all the plans in one day. That's how God works. And so, if you then receive a word, oh, you are going to get married this year. That's what God says. You are going to get married this year. I'm giving you a husband. And you say, Lord, how? And then God says, oh, talk to your friend. Maybe BC or Deborah or Tokwe. And that's one to a single, right? And you're like, somebody that has not that has not gotten a husband. Am I going to talk to her? You will not be fighting the fight of faith. The fight of faith here is simple. The strategy is simple. God has told you, I will make you a father of nations. All you have to then do is ask him how. Then he says, walk with me. It always involves a walk with God. Don't forget that. It always involves a walk with God. And that walk means it will give you instructions. And the instructions will come. There may be no cause. I'll give you an example. I have a friend that was starting willing to get married. She was 31. Then we call her a friend who is a big sister. When she was 31, she was praying to God to give her a husband. She had never had any successful relationship, and she really wanted to get married. So she had prayed, she had done everything, nothing was working. So she had a friend, that friend too was praying. So both of them were praying together in church. So one day the friend's mom, you know, called her daughter into the room and insulted the daughter, said, what is wrong with you? If you have enemy that are disturbing you, you better go and save yourself and pray. Your mates are going to Rimo Mountain to pray. They are going to Ikoyi Mountain to pray. You are sitting down, you are doing Shabba Shabba. So you know how mothers can sometimes be. So the mom spoke to that young lady, and the young lady then decided that just to fool mommy, because mommy is always talking about that mountain, maybe I will go there and pray. So that when she wants to talk in the future, I will tell her that you are the one that said I should go to this mountain. I have gone there to pray. So she then told her friend, she said, I'm going to that mountain. Are you going to come along? And the friend said, I'm not doing anything. Let's go together. It's just a form of excursion now. It's not as if God did not answer our prayer if we prayed at home or if we prayed in the city. So both of them got in the bus and then they traveled to that place. I think it's in Osun State, I believe. So when they got to the place, they saw the mountain. It was very high in the heavens. So they said, we are here, let's climb it. So they were climbing. So this sister told me, she said, when they got to a point, her legs were aching, her breath was fainting, that out of frustration, she now sat down, she began to weep. She was like, what is it? What is it? Why am I suffering like this? Oh, my man, oh, my husband, man. Right. And then a friend, the one that they were crying about it together, a friend's phone now rang while she was crying. The friend now picked the phone. Hello, was now a guy from London. Hello, hi, my brother, how are you? Where are you? We came to pray at Edema Mountain. Who is crying there? It's my friend. My friend is crying. I've been trying to beg her. She's frustrated because she was just thinking that why God don't answer that prayer. So this other guy now said, give her the phone, let me talk to her. So the friend now gave this a friend the phone. The friend took the phone to her ears and said, hello, who is this? Said, my name is so and so. I'm your friend's brother. Take it easy. God will answer your prayer. Stop crying. Do you know that's how the two of them met? And that's how she got married. That was who she got married to a few months later. Now, they didn't end up climbing. They didn't end up going up the mountain. They didn't end up praying there. When she then got married to this guy, by the grace of God, God bless them. They had a very fantastic marriage, and their marriage is doing well. The other friend that the mother spoke to, when they on the day of their own wedding, one of the groomsmen now met the person that now married her friend. So both of them, that was how God settled them maritally. But here is my point. She wouldn't have thought that it would be this friend that would lead her to her husband, because both of them were single. You'll be thinking that they are supposed to be competing now. That what if one guy says hi, and both of us are fine girls. So, don't let me start myself. But that's not the way God works. You have to understand that. And that conviction to believe that if he says he's going to give me something, if I follow him, I will get that thing. That is the fight of faith. And that's same thing with your health. If God says, I'll make you healthy, or I've given you health, and you hear it, and then you feel sickness in your body, don't doubt the word of God and believe the sickness. No, 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 no. You are going to say, Lord, how do I come out of this? I've said that several times. How do I come out of this? Sometimes, and I've shared with us before, my son, my first son, myself and him had a, when he was 11, it was in, no, when he was 10 or 11, thereabouts, it was in GSS1. And I now had I don't want to call it a fight, you know, I had a disagreement with him in the car. I was going to drop him in school. And he was just getting used to pocket money. This thing we call pocket money. So in the school, we're advised to give them a particular card that they will use to buy lunch because it's a day student. But if the card does not work, we have to give them a small change for lunch every day. Apart from the fruits the school will give them, they must buy something. The school was also using it to teach them economics, how to handle money. And the school told us. So I agreed with him that I'll be given a certain amount. And it was taking the certain amount to school. Then one day he came back home and he said, his friends bought him food. Said, how can your friends buy you food? What do you mean your friends bought you food? He said he lost his money and that his friends contributed money to buying food. And I said, you cannot be that careless. You are not behaving like my son. I don't think I ever lost my money before when I was in school. I can never lose my money. Where is the money that, how much is it? I can never lose my money. There was no way I could lose my money. 50 kobo. If I lose 50 kobo, do you know, I'll have to work. And I will have nothing in my, no, I can never lose my money. So I told him, I said, you are getting spoiled. Because you think you come from, your father has a little change. You are not appreciating what I'm doing for you. So today, I'll give you some money. You go back to your friends. You buy them food. After buying them food, if you lose your money again, I'm not going to give you. I'm going to withdraw the pocket money. You go to school without food. So we had that discussion. He smiled. He went to school. I gave him a little bit of excess money. He was able to buy things for his friends. And then 2 days later, 3 days later, he lost the money. So I said, okay, this boy is trying my patience now. So when he said I lost my money again, that day I took him to school. I refused to give him any money. That was my crime. I didn't give him money. He went to school without food. When he got to school, he refused to take anything from his friends because I told him that we don't do that. We don't collect handout from anybody. So he refused to eat. He refused to collect anything from his friends. He came back from school in the afternoon. He had a little temperature. By evening, he was peeing blood. Abba, over small fights, father-son disagreements, over discipline. What is all this blood you are peeing? Next thing, I rushed this boy to the hospital. We got to the hospital. The doctors said, oh, they want to clear the system. They set up a drip. They set up this. They set up that. Put everything in his body, right? He kept peeing blood. And the blood was getting more and more. As in, you will see a whole white, what do they call water, all this, what's the water, that water thing that we drink. Is it water bottle now? Sachet water, table water bottle, the table water. You see it filled with blood coming out of his body, like urine every time. Friday morning till night, pee blood. Saturday morning till night, pee blood. Now, guess what I was doing now? I was speaking in tongues now. I was praying. I was commanding. And I was paying money. And they were getting consultants, getting this. They were telling me he has acute kidney trauma. They were telling me all sorts of nonsense English. I said, over what? Over that, I didn't give you 1,000 naira for food. Like, what is the correlation of this? I didn't give you money for lunch. You didn't eat in school. How can that become? What, the mathematics was silly. I said, if they told me that maybe you had ulcer, even that I will contest. I can see it makes sense. What does kidney have to do with not eating? When I was in school, there are 7 days I didn't eat. I didn't trump my parents like this. How can you be trumping me like this? Okay, sorry, oh. I will not fight with you over money again, oh. Come and return yourself to me the way you went to school yesterday. Let us go home. This thing was getting worse. I'm making light of it, but you have to understand how I process these things because I'm not going to panic. I've matured in the way I handle certain things. So I usually will go to humor. And so I begin to make jokes. So I was making jokes with him. I would say, hey, who that? Might be no. Ah, is it because of 1,000? Okay, I will increase it to 1,100. Yeah, let's go home. Next time you go and pee, it has to be water. It will not descend. When it goes to the bathroom, it will come back with blood. I'll say, hey, Chairman, I will still be praying, no. And then I'll say, okay, let's negotiate again. Because I wouldn't panic. And I know I had to be talking to him. It is not, I don't have any business with that blood. It is him. If I could convince this boy that he's well, he will be well. It's just for me to convince him. He has to fight that battle of faith, right? So that I can convince him. He was the one that needed to be convinced. Although I think he was taking a little bit of pleasure in the fact that Finally, he saw his father. His father a bit troubled because all his life had never been troubled by anything. But that day, I slept in the hospital with him. Saturday, I slept in the hospital with him. It wasn't getting any better. I mean, it wasn't getting any better. So by Saturday night, the consultants and the other doctors, they called me and said they would like to move him to another hospital in Lagos. It has gone beyond their control. They didn't want him to lose his kidneys. He's too young to lose his kidneys, but the way the blood was coming, it is not something that could be handled at that hospital anymore. That's so they wanted to sign the consent for to get the ambulance. They want to move him to a kidney, whatever hospital, where they will do some certain big English. I started laughing. They said, "You will take us serious." I said, No. What do you mean I should take you serious? There's nothing wrong with this boy. They said, "What do you mean there's nothing wrong with this boy? You can see all the bottles of blood on the floor. This boy has been peeing blood. We have over six or seven because they were trying to pump him full of water, hoping that the water will flush the system. So he was drinking so much water and it was blood that was coming out. So they were putting all the bottles where it was peeing on the floor. So they said, I should go and look at it again, that I should go and look at all the blood in the bottle. Is that looking like something that is a joke? That I should not laugh for? Nothing matter. Mr. Anymore, hey, Mr. Body is not a laughing matter. I said, "Doctor, chill. Doctor, chill. What are you talking about? This is a laughing matter. This boy is not sick. I know this boy is not sick." They say, "Ah, you better, this is." This boy is not sick. This boy is not sick. When eventually they said in the morning, if he doesn't improve by morning, they will have no option but to take him. I said, "Okay." So I said, "We stood with him that night." He peed four times, bottles full of blood. No problem. When it was morning, I was going to preach somewhere. So I had my bath in the hospital. I dressed up. I then sat beside him and I said to him, I said, "Young man, Let me negotiate one more time. I want to be now, and you are going to be healed." And he said, "That day, I believe you that I'm not sick, but the blood keeps coming out. I keep telling the blood not to come out, but the blood keeps coming out. That day, I believe that I'm not sick, but the blood is not. It keeps coming." I said, "Oh, okay. Now that both of us are on the same page, I will not deal with this thing externally. I just needed to convince him. That fight of faith is his fight." But I have to be the constant voice of God in his ears. I have to be telling him, "You are not sick, you are not sick, you are not sick, you are not sick. You must not believe you are sick. If you believe you are sick, I will not be able to win this thing. But once you confess to me that, yes, you are not sick, once I hear it from you, I will run with it." So once he told me that, I tried to convince the blood. The blood is still coming. I try. I said, "Don't worry." As we were talking, the matron came in. And then the lady went to the matron and the lady was crying. Ha! I will not forget that, the beautiful day. The lady was crying. "And matron, please." The matron said, no, "You are owing the hospital so much money. You didn't bring your husband, you didn't bring anybody. We cannot keep treating you. You want to run the establishment down? What do you mean?" No, "I cannot help you, madam. Go and sit down. We are not treating your son again. When this afternoon, when the doctor comes, we'll discharge you. We'll be taking your son away. We cannot continue the treatment." When I heard that, I said, "Thank you, Jesus. Finally." Why? Because in my heart, as I was about to talk to the young man, I felt a strong connection to that woman that came to the motel. So when I heard that problem, I just went to meet her. "Hi, how are you doing? What's the problem?" She said, "My son is sick. We are in the hospital a certain amount of money." I said, "How much is it?" She told me the amount. I said, "Okay, give me your bill." She gave me the bill. I said, "Give me your bank account." She gave me a bank account. I went to the hospital. I paid off a bill and that of her child. I gave the hospital the receipt. I even added some money for further treatment until the boy is well. I went to her. I gave her money for food, for what have you. I didn't spare expense. I spent the money with joy. When I finished spending the money, I went to my son. I said, hey, negotiation over. Go and pee now. And when he went to pee, I'm not kidding and I'm not making it up. He went to the toilet. It was urine 100%. 100%. It wasn't half urine, half water. It wasn't, it was, he brought the bottle out, the matron screamed. How? I told the matron, the fight of faith, right? Comes with obedience. It is what the Lord says you should do. Once you do it, once you have the instruction and you do it, you will get a result. That is the fight of faith. That is the fight of faith. Now, I've given three or four examples. You now understand the fight of faith. Can I see your hand? I want to move to the second fight. I have 5 minutes to explain that. Do you understand the fight of faith now? Who is that person I want to read Bible that raised hand from 5 o'clock? Why are you disturbing my class with your hand? Be careful. Please, those who understand the fight of faith, Darius, let me see your hand. I want to, you get it. So you receive faith and then you follow obedience. Say, what, Lord, what should I do? What it tells you to do, no matter how silly, do it. You will get your result. Thank you. So now I know the fight of faith. God bless you. That's my secret. So I'll just wait for instruction. Once the Lord tells me to do something, once I do it, I will get 100% result. I do not struggle for nothing. But when he has not spoken, I will wait. I'll be patient. I will not try to find a way, a corner. Mm-mm. I'll be patient. It will come. But instruction is key. Obedience is the secret of, was the secret of Abraham, or the secret of Jesus. Faith must produce obedience in you. Faith produces obedience. Don't forget, faith produces obedience. Obedience, you don't obey God without faith. A lot of Christians will just be, we are obeying God. No, 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 no. You cannot obey God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith must produce obedience. So a lot of people want to obey God without faith. We are obeying God by obeying 10 commandments. No, obeying 10 commandments is not obeying God. Obeying morality is not obeying God. When God tells you to do something and you do it, that's obedience. That is the fight of faith. That is you fighting the fight of faith. The more position is the obedience. Now, the second kind of fight, and this one is a fight that you must never fight. So I tell you, there are two kinds. That the fight of faith you must fight. That is the fight that a Christian fights. See, the second kind of fight, that one that you say, oh, spiritual battle. Oh, I want to kill my enemy. Oh, let us kill them before they kill us. Oh, the battle for my glory. Oh, the enemy surround me. Let me buy broom. I'll be beating the enemy. Let me buy cane. I'll be killing the enemy. All those ones. You have come into Sabbath. So I started by telling you the story of the children of Israel. When they got to the promised land, those who followed the instructions, they conquered their territory 100%. 100%. They had no problem. They went and they conquered 100%. The Bible said, some of them, they did it half-heartedly. They were not convinced. They were not fully persuaded. So they told themselves, why can't we just be neighbors with these people? Why are we killing each other ourselves? What was all this fighting about? Eh? Let the parasites, they are not fighting us. When we came here, they welcomed us. We welcome. Why can't we just live with them? The Bible said, and that was it. They continued. They couldn't have total domination. You see, they couldn't have total domination because of their mindset, because they didn't come into Sabbath. Some even were living without wild animals because they couldn't conquer their territory. They couldn't have total domination. When you see a Christian who does not listen to God and instructions, who will set up things for himself and then set up strategy to get it and then just add the name of Jesus to it. See now, you want a car. I want a car. You went to the place where they are selling the car. How much is the car? They said it's 2 million. Okay. Say, oh, the car is 2 million now. I'm earning 20 naira a month. What do I do? What do I do? I will go to a pastor. I got a message, for example, for today. The message is one. This guy has been a pastor for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Then he sent me a message. He said, I should please send it to all my contacts. That they want to raise 60 million naira in his church. He's looking for Christians who love the Lord, who will give him 50,000 naira each. He now calculated the number of people that will make up 60 million. You know, a lot of churches do that. Then they will say, if 30 people can give us 1 million, we have 30 million. If 60 people can give us 500,000, we have what we want. If 90 people can give us 200,000 naira, those kind of gimmicks. That's no faith. That's not an act of faith. That is you. I want a car. Let me strategize. Let me plan. That is not illegal, but it is not the way to work with God. That's not how. You see, the how is God says, I will give you something. And you say, okay. And he says, go here. And you go. And he says, go there. And you go. Every step you are taking there, you are building your faith. That was what I thought earlier. But this other one, where you'll be calculating, you now become a cheat. You'll be thinking, if I told pastor that land is 1 million, and then you are only selling it for 300, I will gain 700 there. I will now tell this one that this car is 3 million. I will now gain 200 there. You're not saying, no. That is not the kind of fight that a Christian gets into. You don't find yourself in that place. You don't find yourself in a place where you're fighting witches and wizards. No. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above. Far above means in a place where they cannot touch you, principalities and power. You have come out from among them. You are different. You are separate, untouchable, immovable. Or it is the truth. It is the word of God. I'm fully persuaded that a believer who is walking in the reality we are walking in can never be saying, oh, enemy die. No. You are far above all that. That kind of fight, what a waste of it. It's a waste of time. And secondly, it will bring the consciousness of the enemy to you. Like the children of Israel, you end up dwelling with the enemy in your own heart. When you see them talk, you see that the enemy is in their heart. When they say a thing, all our enemies, this world is hard. The enemy, they are watching, they are listening. Every time they talk, you see enemy consciousness. Enemy is already living in their heart. It is in their mouth. When they talk, you see that the enemy is there. That is what that fight does. When you fight the fight you're not supposed to fight, you gain consciousness of the enemy. Like children of Israel, you begin to live with the enemy in your own heart. And that is not acceptable. We fight from the place of rest. We fight from Sabbath. We fight the fight of faith. Glory to God. It's time to give our offering. I believe we are blessed. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Beautiful day. This particular offering, don't forget that the offering goes to the poor, but I always, when the Lord tells me what to teach, I will tell him, it's for those who are in the midst of a battle at the moment, a fight of faith. That's what I mean. You are fighting a fight of faith. You are struggling with the fulfillment of certain instructions or promises. You are fighting to even convince yourself that those promises are still real. Maybe God said, I'll give you a child, but you have fibroids and you are thinking, where will the baby stay? You know? Or you are already pregnant and there is fibroid and there is baby and the doctors are telling you to pick one and your faith is failing. Oh, beautiful God. You are fighting. God has given you something and somebody has taken it. And your faith is failing. Your health. God said, I've healed you, but your faith is failing. You are fighting the battle of faith, but you are losing. It's like that doubt is giving you so many blows, and you cannot lift your hand. You know, fight the fight of faith. When Elijah fought the fight of faith and was losing, he turned to God and he said, take me off. I'm tired. I despair. I'm not better than my fathers. Just kill me. I'm not kidding. He fought the fight of faith and he lost. His confession showed that he has lost. God then told him, okay, go and anoint somebody else. He still lived much longer than that, but it was that day that God realized that this guy needs somebody to take over from him. This guy has given up hope. He has given up on faith. Everyone giving their offering now. And that is what the Lord told me. To restore unto you the spirit of faith. To restore unto you the spirit of faith. No, there is faith that you cannot explain. That faith will make you stand even when you don't have legs. Like, you will stand. You will notice your spine. You will have this conviction. You don't know where it came from. And it will propel you into the fulfillment of God's word. The spirit of faith is what the Holy Spirit said that you will pass this evening. The spirit of faith. That all those who are ailing in the place of their fight of faith, that their faith may stand, their ears may open, their instructions may come. Instructions may come. Fear clear instructions. Fear clear. That they will slug it out and they will win. It will not be a struggle to achieve the things that the Lord has set in their hearts. Hey, Kari Ketusha. Rabiniada Sata Kibidianos. Lahidiga Zashategas. Lebeneadas. Lekusa. Being built up. Kipana. Kipidianosa. Inside your very essence. Being propelled, propped up, stacked up. Backed Iganeka, Idiane Gaza, that your faith will stand tall. Hey, I will be a mother. It's not a question. I will. The Lord said, I'm giving you children by word of prophecy. How will you struggle with that? Like you are sitting down with your own. Somebody came to prophesy, and the person said, I'm giving you children. God said, I'm giving you children. You are not saying, I'm not this, I have this, I have that. Hey. Hey, the word of prophecy that came to you, did you ask for it? No. How can it then fail unless you are losing your fight of faith? Don't lose. The spirit of faith is upon you now. Yeah, you begin to achieve those things in a haste. This is the word of God. I make nothing up. This is the word of God. It comes to you expressly. Thank you, Father. There's grace, and there's grace, faith. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you are blessed, please submit and shout, glory!
Glory!